get it done. I'm going to move this off right here. All right. So, tonight for a minute, I want to talk about seeing. I'm going to read something for you that may not make sense in the beginning, but I hope it makes sense by the end of it. And it's entitled Lenses. Lenses that blur and color and distort. Lenses that alter what we see. We all wear our lenses. Our colors are colored by what we want to see, what we have seen, what we expect to see. Our focus is refocused by the error in our lenses, by the cracks and the imperfections. We wear our lenses to correct our vision, but are we really correcting or just distorting? Does our correction blur our vision? But our lenses cannot be removed. What has been colored remains colored. What has been refocused remains refocused. So we must find lenses for our lenses that we might see clearly. We must put on the lens of Christ so we might become focused and our false colors might fade away that we might see clearly our Lord. So to start off, I'm going to tell you a bit of a story. Now, my aunt, her name is Grace, she's an optometrist. They have a business out here, Glass Casts Eye Care. There, Mike, there's my little ad for you. All right, so she's going to school in Memphis. So she's doing a residency, and for some reason, I don't know if this is popular across the country or just in Memphis, Memphis is a little special. They have this idea that what makes glasses work is medicine inside the glasses. Tell me how that makes sense. I'm not sure. So they have this idea that it's the medicine in the glasses that helps you see better. So she's early in her residency, hasn't figured out that the argument is useless. She has a lady come in one day. She's like, excuse me, ma'am, I can't see. Grace is like, okay, well, we can check your prescription. She's like, no. We don't need to do all that. My glasses just run out of medicine. She said, no, you know, ma'am, that's not how it works. She said, listen, honey, blurry. My glasses just run out of medicine. So she quickly realized the argument was futile. But as we know, it's not medicine in the glasses. It's the lenses. So here's what we have to remember about lenses. Even as Christians, we can sometimes have a hard time seeing. We can have trouble seeing the path that God is leading us down. We struggle to see what God would have us do. And sometimes we find ourselves not even able to see God. That's because we're looking through damaged lenses. So the first is seeing God's path. First thing we have to know is that God has a plan for all of us. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So, we know God has a plan for us. We know He has a plan for good. But we also know that sometimes we stray from that path. That sometimes we fall into darkness. And I could go on and on all night. Don't worry, I won't. About examples in the Bible of when great men are on this path of God, and all of a sudden something pulls them away. Something causes them to stumble, causes them to be unable to see the path before them. So we know it's not our best intention to stay on the path, but these imperfections in our lenses keep blurring our vision. Now, what do I mean by that? These cracks and imperfections that I'm referring to are sins of the heart. If we are prideful or insecure, we can sometimes see alternative paths that are created by those shortcomings. So many times we let things get in the way of us seeing that path. You know, imagine the financial planning commercial with a little green arrow that you just follow it. It's as simple as that. And oftentimes it is in its simplest form. But what happens is in human nature we allow these cracks to form. We allow these sins to come into our lives. We allow, as the writer of The Great Divorce says, these little souvenirs of hell, if you're familiar with that book, to come into our lives, and all of a sudden those shape what we see. All of a sudden we get a little confused about where God's path is, even though He's made it clear. Now, I think I can make this example make a little more sense. Leo, you're near the end. Come here. Now, he doesn't know I was going to do this, and he's probably really angry than I am. So, I want you to face the audience. Now, these are some awesome glasses. And I'm telling you, these lenses are big enough you could work out with the Jokers. They're ridiculous. All right, I want you to put these on. Is your vision relatively decent, Leo?
Yes.
It's pretty good. All right, Mike, if you go to that next slide. So, you see what he's seeing. Now, I'll even give you the official one. Leo, if you would be so kind as to turn around and read this eye chart for me.
Yeah, right.
Any guesses? Give me a guess. First, maybe an S. All right, pretty good. Next two. No? Not even? Come on. You can't even do better in the second line.
No.
All right. Well, put them down and sit down if you can't see that well. Did you see? We can see the good in all things. And this is just an example. This is something Grace had hanging up at the store, but it's the same idea. It's this idea that what we need to know, the path that we need to take is right there in front of us. It's sitting right there. It's the green arrow we need to follow, but we allow these lenses, these imperfections, these sins to get in the way. And now the next one. Now that we've decided to stay on the path, if you make that decision, if you say, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to keep my lenses free of these cracks and these imperfections, now what? Even then, even seeing the path, can we not still sometimes struggle to see what God would have us do? These individual instances, God gives us opportunities all the time to do His work, to become more like Him, to be better Christians. And sometimes we honestly just don't see them. That's because our lenses have been colored. They've been colored by our sins, by our experiences, by our preconceptions, by what society around us tells us we should see. See, we see a broken world. Would we honestly associate publicly with rapists or murderers? Would we have people walk out of jail and we meet them there and say, I want to get to know you? That sounds crazy. It does. And what would society think? They would think, well, how could you accept people like this? And we start to think the same thing. This idea that society has, this tint that society uses for their lenses of I'm just better than some people, of I'm not as bad as some people, therefore I do not associate with them. How clearly do we see that Christ does not have this? How clearly does He sit and eat with sinners? But we still have this preconception. Or is our pride or our insecurity coloring our lenses? Is it keeping us from doing the right thing? I think one of the biggest things that God tells us to do is not to help others, but to get help ourselves. But society out there says, you don't need any help. How many times are we struggling with something, whatever it is? Maybe it's one of those cracks and imperfections in our lenses, and we know that it's affecting what we see on that path. But because of our pride, because of our insecurity, because these colors that society has put on our lenses, saying that you have to be strong enough by yourself, that you can never let anybody know about that, we choose to let it go. My favorite example of this is the story of the little children and Jesus. In Matthew 19, verse 13 to 14, it says, then people brought little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When He placed His hands on them, He went from there. I mean, these 12, what could they have been thinking? Why are you bringing these kids to the Messiah? He's got better things to do. So society had told them that Jesus was too good for that and that, well, I mean, they're part of His group. They must be too good for that. Society had said they're kids. They don't matter. Why would you give them the time of day? You have better things to do. Their lenses were colored. And Jesus said, no, you bring the little children to Me. And sometimes, actually, you know what? I think I'll explain it a little better. Who else am I going to pick on? Tyler, come here. How is your color vision? Is it okay? It's just pretty good. All right. Mike, if you'll pull up the first slide for me, we'll test. All right, what do you see right here? Okay, there are two shapes. What two shapes do you see? Square and a circle. Everybody else see a square and a circle? Anybody not? If not, if you will see Grace McCubbin right over there. All right, if you will face that wall and put these glasses on for me. All right? There you go. All right, Mike, next slide for me. All right, first, before you turn around, does everybody see this? This one's a little tougher. All right, Tyler, turn around. Tell me what you see. Anything? Anything at all? Any shapes in there?
Well, definitely some circles.
You see some circles? All right, good. Anything else? Any letters, shapes? Anything? Come on, you got this.
Some letters?
Some shapes? Some something? Tell you what, take the glasses off and try again. You see anything? No, you're still wrong. That's okay. So, I hope that makes sense. It was a no. It says no. See, now he sees it and feels silly. All right. So finally, and I think this one's the worst of all, sometimes our lenses have gotten so colored and so scratched and so cracked that we can't even see God. Tyler, if you came up here and put these on, would you have been able to see the no? I mean, you weren't anyway, but would you be able to see the no? See? If we allow our sin to crack our lenses and our hate and our preconceptions to color them, we get to the point where we stop seeing God altogether. There's a man by the name of William Craig, and he's a very famous debater for the Christian faith. I just got done watching one of his debates, and he says that one of the biggest proofs of God, especially to Christians, is the personal experience to God with God. That moment when you say, I can see Him. When you say, I can feel Him. Well, there are points when we can let our lenses become so colored and so cracked and so scratched, we stop being able to see Him. Something that's one of the biggest proofs that He's there, and we're without it. What happens to our faith then? What happens when we're completely unable to see God? That's what these little small sins, these small cracks, these colorings. Again, I'm harping on things that I happen to be studying in school, but if any of you have read The Great Divorce, the idea of it is that people are choosing to go back to hell from heaven. Because there are these little faults within them that they don't even see that are more important to them in heaven. Sometimes we do the same thing. Oftentimes it's not big things. Oftentimes it's these little cracks and scratches and these little colors that pull us off God's path and that keep us from doing what He's called us to do. But that's because the world's broken. And you know what? I've got some really bad news. You can't take these lenses off. You can't. It's a broken world. Those colors and those cracks and those scratches never go away. Your sins, the way that you look at the world differently because of your sins doesn't change. They will always be there, unfortunately. Those colors are always there unless we choose to look through the lens of Christ. Now, as much as we want to, we can't completely take these off. We can't. We can't completely scrub away the color. We can't completely repair the cracks. We have to have lenses for our lenses. We have to have the lens of Christ. Some of you may recognize that. A man by the name of Ricky G. Chambliss. Yeah, a few of you laugh at that. Had this idea, and he would sit us all down around in a circle, his class. And he would say, all right, pick something that's going on today. We'd pick something random, something on the news, something like that. And he would say, now how is this different through the lens of Christ? And you know what? Every time, the answer was different. Every time we discussed it, and then he said, now look at it through the lens of Christ. Those two answers, the ones before he said that and the ones after, were different. But that's because we allowed those colors and those scratches and those nicks and those marks those sins and those imperfections and those preconceptions and those hates to affect what we were seeing. So how do we put on these lenses? What do we see different? We put on the lens of love and the lens of joy, the lens of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We take everything that Christ has taught us and His wonderful Word that we're so thankful that we all have. We put that together and we create a lens. True and perfect love is how it's all summed up. It's all summed up as true and perfect love. So if we will take these lenses of true and perfect love, now, don't we all wish we could just get rid of these? We take these true love glasses and we use them as lenses for our lenses. So, why does this matter? What difference does it make? What happens if we start seeing the world like Christ? All of a sudden, we can see our path. All of a sudden, it almost does get as simple as that little green line. If only we could all do it perfectly, it would be that simple. All of a sudden, we can see the things that He's called us to do. And all of a sudden, God is the most obvious figure standing there beside us. We become more Christ-like. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The Bible says, be like Him. And the only way we can be like Him is to see like Him. What would Jesus do? I know it's not as popular as it used to be, that saying, the little bracelets. And sometimes we kind of laugh because it's a kid's thing, but it's so true. If we looked at every situation in our lives and said, what would Jesus do? How would that change our lives? And not only that, but how would that affect someone else's life? If every time we dealt with someone at school, at work, if at the grocery store, it doesn't matter. If wherever we met somebody, we interacted with them with this idea of what would Jesus do? If every time we made a decision, every time we took an action, what would change? How would our lives change? They would change completely. The Bible calls us to be like Christ, and the only way we can do that is to first see like Christ. It would completely change the world. So, if you would like the opportunity to come tonight and be baptized into the body of Christ, the one true way to God, and the one way to finally rid yourselves of those cracks and those marks and those colors, or if you just need the prayers of this church, will you come while we stand and sing?